how should we talk about it? If we want to like motivate a conversation about collaboration, which distinctions should we use and which shouldn't we use? If you want to collaborate, then don't start bringing up the ecosystem. It will be like not knowingly to you, it will hinder you from talking about collaboration.
Yes,
and
now we can start.
Okay, hi and welcome to Thesis Talks for our last episode for the cohort of 2019. It's a long time ago. We are here today with Søren,
hey,
who will talk to us about his thesis.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome,
Felix. Welcome on the floor.
Thank you. It's very nice.
On the red floor.
So what was your topic? What did you write about?
I wrote about the potential for universities to work together on entrepreneurship and innovation. Anything that could promote like a combined effort of entrepreneurship.
And how did you get to this topic? Like, how did you decide that this is something interesting to look into?
Yeah, okay, so this started as my internship, where I was working for a company that, or an organization, VentureCup, that organizes an annual competition of entrepreneurship between the universities. So here they compete against each other. You can also work in teams across universities, it just doesn't happen very often. So it was working on this that I got a spreadsheet, an Excel sheet, showing me which teams were made up of people from just one university and which were made up from students from several universities combined. And I thought I started seeing a trend of like mixed or cross university teams that were doing good. And it made sense to me because we have like, my thought was cross-disciplinary knowledge is good for innovation. But the more I kind of dug into it, I just saw that there was difficulty for the universities to work together. And that's where my kind of interest sparked from. First, I talked to a lot of experts. That's how I did my initial research. So I talked to an expert at CBS, and she said that I was going in the wrong direction. she actually did say that interdisciplinary knowledge is the way ahead, but that some universities were mono universities, they only have one direction, and some universities are cross disciplinary already because they have several faculties.
So CBS would be mono?
That would be one of the monos.
Mm-hmm. And then DTU?
DTU is actually also mono, but
yeah, okay.
Universities like KU, the Copenhagen University, and Aarhus University, also SDU, South Denmark or South Danish University, is a what I ended up calling like a multi-faculty university.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I tried to find out like when do they work together and how do they work together. So I interviewed a lot of people. The main data were one person from each university who had to do with innovation and entrepreneurship. So many things that made it difficult for the universities to work together, and that really annoyed me. You know, working in different directions can be good for innovation because you get different ideas, different ways of doing things. But I kept thinking there must also be some things that they all need to do. And if they all do it in different ways, or they all have to what we say in English, like inventing the deep plate, but when inventing the wheel in English, if they all have to invent the wheel, then they're spending a lot of money on administration and all this. Instead of just working together, learning from each other.
Through your data, what did you find out? Was that the lead that the lady from CBS, the expert, gave you? Was that a good lead?
I think she really just didn't want to help me.
Wow.
So my kind of if are we talking about like the process?
Yeah, like your approach to
the approach to it. Okay, so. So I really didn't know how to start in the beginning, so I went through so many literatures and so many theories. And I'd like the one about interdisciplinary knowledge, I did this with almost all like leads that I had or ideas that I had. I talked to an expert, if it made sense, I would dive into that literature. So I started out with social network theory,
mm-hmm.
Because that made sense to me, because the first thing I thought is, if I want to know how these people work together, the dynamic, then first I need to know who they are. So I talked to an expert at CBS, Lasse Folke Henriksen, who has written his own book. He asked me to read his book, so I read his book.
How was the book?
The book was interesting. Yeah. But it was an introduction to social networking.
Okay.
And then afterwards, I did an interview with him, and I thought there's some good ideas here. So I started trying to use this approach, but two things held me back. One is I'm really not a quantitative researcher. I found out that. I kind of knew, and then it was confirmed. I'm not. And also it's very time consuming. And then I looked at ecosystem theory, which is also really interesting, and I thought very useful, because we have this, like, what we all talk about, the Danish entrepreneurial ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, okay, so we have an ecosystem here that must be easy. I mean, somebody probably already drew a map for this, right? Yeah, nobody did. No, it's a lie. Somebody actually tried to do it. And like the go-to guy was a guy from Aarhus University who then started his own company, his own startup afterwards. And he did this, the entrepreneurial ecosystem map. And I looked at this. That map actually became the front page of my internship report called Welcome to the Jungle. And that kind of tells you what this map looked like.
Okay.
So there was no real like coherence in this map, and everybody I talked to said, don't try to map this out, it's impossible. So I had to give up on that.
So yeah, you went through several models and...
Yeah. So what I ended up with was, since the ecosystem approach was too complex and it was too difficult to get this kind of like map everything out, I decided I have to focus in on a few groups. Like, I have to simplify this system. So I remember that I've worked with the triple helix theory before, and triple helix is basically like collaboration between three actors or three groupings: the government, the knowledge institutions, which here mostly the focuses on the universities, and then the industry. The industry meant as all companies.
So the private sector.
The private sector, yeah, exactly. There is a theory called the triple helix theory, and it focuses on so much more than just, you know, these three parts. That's what you're talking about. that I got into it really deep. It was
too deep.
I swear I fell down the rabbit hole. I tried to climb out so many times, it just made it worse.
And did you climb out at the end?
Yeah, I did. So what happened that made it really difficult is when you start reading the theory from... I started obviously from when there are two authors from Holland. As I wanted to understand more after reading that book, I read later books that they had done on the theory, and the theory changes. So, you know, so I'm like, so which theory, like at which time period do I look at this from? I found out that the two authors disagreed at one point. But nobody really knows this unless they really dive into it. So they disagreed to the point where they started dissing each other in street words, dissing each other in articles, but really subtle. They wouldn't mention the other by name, but they would cite the other person. After, like, they would say, it was to the point where one called the other, what's it called, a quantophreniac. Someone who's crazy, who gets overly crazy about numbers, because he had a quantitative approach. The other guy had a qualitative approach. So they disagreed on what you should focus on, basically. I decided to go with one of them. I looked into what theories are the underlying theories that made up his perspective. And in those underlying theories, I found this guy, and he does system theory. And he looks at systems from the bottom up, and he does it by looking at language. And he looks at how people describe things, and he looks at it like everything you say, there's something that you don't say. I set it up as in the analysis, the actual analysis I did of the universities, I set it up as what I call distinctions. So from everything they said, I would highlight that there was a distinction, that they said something and they did not say something else. And doing this, it either enabled something or it hindered something.
Okay, I need to get an example from this, because that sounds crazy and very interesting. But I cannot imagine how you did that.
Yeah.
Because you have the transcription of an interview, and we know how that looks like, right?
Yeah.
You focus on every word, but then how do you see something that has not been said?
Yeah, so for example, look at it like when you say something, you force yourself into a direction of saying something. So let me start out there. And then I noticed that when these people were talking about, I asked them, would you collaborate with the other universities? And as the ones that described the university entrepreneurship as an ecosystem, they would end up pushing the responsibility of collaborating onto the ecosystem. So I would say, for example, so do you think that universities should collaborate on entrepreneurship? And they would say, yes, definitely. And I'm like, all right, so we're going somewhere here. And would say, I would say, so in which way? And they would, or who should initiate this? And they would start saying, in an ecosystem, like things have to come about naturally. You see, no, they would start it. And then as soon as they said ecosystem, there were a lot of things that they couldn't say, like I need to take responsibility, because in that metaphor for them was a distinction between it, that ended up being the distinction, like ecosystem or me taking initiative.
So the word ecosystem implied certain activities to be okay and others to not be within this term.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that they had thought about
it.
It was just as soon as they started talking about ecosystem, they would talk about things naturally happening and someone out there in the ecosystem taking over and things taking root. And it was really interesting. They would get into this whole like natural habitat vocabulary, and it made it impossible for them, apparently, to say like, we should do something. And I found that really interesting, because ecosystem is something we all talk about when we talk about entrepreneurship, and we think it's something positive. And we think, you know, if we talk about ecosystem, then this is something that's is organic and that's good and that's innovative. But if it also means that every time somebody uses it, they push away responsibility, then that's not our initiative, then that's not very innovative.
So in a way, you say like, one of the findings was that when the word ecosystem was used, it kind of disabled action or collaboration.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's just one example, and there were endless distinctions. The main distinctions I ended up choosing were factors that could tell something about whether they were willing to work together, willing to take initiative, and so on. But ecosystem alone is not enough.
Okay.
I think one of the main distinctions were mono faculty university, multi faculty university.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The mono universities are like CPS, DTU, ITU. They were very willing to work together, collaborate with other universities, and especially on they would say that we need those skills that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And the multi faculty universities, they would say, they would kind of end up in this, we have everything we need on our own roof.
Yeah.
And that's just a pity, because the disciplines aren't the only things you can share to become more innovative and more entrepreneurial.
Can you give us a short peek into those the sections of the discussion that you just mentioned? Because that sounds so interesting. So what is entrepreneurship in Denmark? And then the second part, how and who can collaborate and how do we phrase it? Yeah.
Sure. Well, first, with the identity, the universities in Denmark are extremely different when it comes to entrepreneurship. They basically have each their own identity, which is good, because that's what collaboration is about. If you have something to bring to the table, each has something to bring to the table, then you can also build on that, learn from each other. So we don't have a common university entrepreneurship identity. We have many. For collaboration, there is a lot of informal collaboration going on between the universities. So informally, you would hear, especially from the universities in and around Copenhagen, CBS, DTU, and KU, they would say, yeah, so we call, I know, and they would name drop something from another university, Like, I can talk to this, I can pick up the phone, call this person and say, I have something, who someone who would be good in your entrepreneurial team that works with this and this. Do you need a business from CBS? Do you need a business person? Or we need a technical person? But this is informal. And the problem with this is that when they said it, they said, this is possible because we're the same people who have worked in this for 15 years. Now, what happens if one of these persons get a new job? Then you lose all this intelligence, all this knowledge, and all the collaboration. Formally, it's difficult for them to collaborate for a few reasons. Practically, like, the systems cannot work together. So the platforms, the digital platforms, do not work well together. So if you want to have a class across universities, like let's say CBS and DTU wants to do an entrepreneurial class, then they have to do double administration because they don't have the same semester structures, they don't have the same digital learning system, and they don't have the same ECTS points for the same classes. So all these things makes it immensely difficult for the universities to work together, and we're paying the bill. Still, I can't stress this enough. Like, we're sitting there, we're paying to go. You know, there's a historical background that the universities were giving a lot of autonomy back in around in 2003, the University Act of 2003, that made it possible for them to take on all this all these things. But then they also started doing things their own way. So then they kind of lost this central organizational
structure.
Yeah. So
is there one thing that from your thesis as a takeaway, what can we learn from this? What can we do better maybe as well?
To collaborate.
How?
So the government needs to first see that they're pumping money into a system that's not being used in an efficient way. I did as background talk to the ministries, and when I said, like, what are your, like, how are you incentivizing the universities to work together? And the guy goes, so all the money we have there, so they're allotted to these different organizations, and I don't think anybody in here knows what money goes to what. So that kind of just told me, like, okay, so this is not efficient, that's for sure. we need to get, like, the top-down view of how should the universities be incentivized to collaborate. And I think at the universities, I think the bottom-up, the students should start demanding more, and the companies should start demanding more.
But do you also think universities, because they can collaborate, but in a way they also compete for, like, high positions, mm-hmm. rankings and stuff,
yeah.
that maybe they also don't want to collaborate too much?
Yes, definitely. And that came up in the thesis as well, like this, the competition collaboration divide.
Yeah.
And some universities were more keen on competing and showing that they were better than the other universities than others were. I have one who, no matter what I asked, it kept coming up like competition. That was SDU, so Danish University. Everything was competition. CBS is actually the same way. But the problem is it can come down to one person. One person who has this position and their thoughts and ideas about how things should be done. I forgot the question. Oh, the competition thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then on the other side, there's one guy who actually answered the question. He said it should be illegal for Danish universities to compete because we're all paid from the same purse.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also competition, I mean, innovation is created through competition, right?
Yes.
Because you want to be better and you want to be smarter than the others and you want to, create the new shit.
That would be my first answer. But then looking into it, I would say, so why don't we become one big player and compete with the international universities?
That could be a way,
Because you compete with other countries.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we have this awesome chance in Denmark because we have public universities.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize this, that in other, obviously, in a country where you have private universities, they're going to compete.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? But here we have, we should all be playing for the same cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. Is there Anything else that you want to add to make this kind of complete?
First, don't just write a project. Like anyone who just writes a project for 3 to 6 months is wasting their own time. Do something that you can use. And even if it doesn't open up one specific job, but it gives you awesome knowledge, you're getting paid for just obtaining knowledge. It's great. It's a kick. If you're not doing it for that reason, don't overly complicate it. Don't jump down the rabbit hole. And don't use triple helix theory.
Theory battle.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much that you joined us today on the red carpet here.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who's been listening for which episode is this going to be? 26, 7?
Yeah, I don't know right now. But close to 30, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
So
we end you on a good note.
Yeah.